the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. I would love to dive right into some of the results from the weekend, including some interesting babies and various other, you know, pieces of news. Because it was really actually quite a fun weekend, starting on Friday, opening at Sam Houston and Turfway with that Pick 5 carryover. And led into Saturday's action. And although, you know, we laid it out that it was a rather subdued weekend in terms of high-level stakes action, plenty of those coming, including fairgrounds on Saturday, if you're looking ahead. There was the force out at Sam Houston in the evening, and leading in, there was Gulfstream forcing out there. $1 million accrual in the Rainbow Six. That was actually a really fun sequence, no matter what you did, whether you played individual races or the Pick Six, the Pick Five, the Pick Four. We're going to get into it. Actually, I'll mention Nick Tamaro, because we had a kind of a quick hit with Nick on Friday. Nick will join us in hour three. I want to really talk some structural questions with Nick, and you know, some of these approaches. So that'll be a valuable, you know, kind of post mortem into the weekend, because there. I mean, I went through the races, and I particularly did during the summer and into the fall with Indiana, kind of looking at the sequences by price and number of favorites and where the prices came from, that element. And so I'm eager to and looking forward to discussing with Nick what he thought, and you know, trying to decide about how much to spend against certain sequences. I thought that those three opportunities, Friday night and Saturday, were, you know, teachable moments, but perhaps. And we'll get into it, as well as the major stakes results and more. There's, of course, the start of the Keeneland January sale, and some real tinged with sadness because of the dispersals with Paul Pompa, our friend, and ourselves. We were fortunate enough to partner on a horse, Toy Cannon, with Paul, and a good friend, somebody that just it's such a thievery of, you know, somebody that was poised to enjoy, you know, retirement, actual retirement, as hard as he worked his whole life and had built up an outstanding operation, and for Paul to be robbed and his family to be robbed of him, and the game to be robbed of him, is really, really just a portion of the next day or so that'll be very sad. I don't want to I myself have had just trouble believing that that Paul Pompa is gone. Samsung Farm, they're selling 21 broodmares in foal, and it you know is a legacy, just a you know a glittering array of the Samsung history. Being offered. And also the Spry family dispersal. They're selling an assortment of 46. So the Keeneland January, which is always, you know, always a interesting opportunity for people to get into the business or expand or augment their broodmare bands, you know, potentially get out ahead of what might be some some early, short yearlings and that kind of thing. So the Keeneland sale, particularly this year, one to watch the next 4 days. There's some other things we got to talk about, like 1,000 Words retiring, and also Lemon Drop Kid being pensioned, and that that'll provoke some thoughts and some appreciation. So we'll get to that. The angst element to the start of the day and the week at large here. The real unpleasantry associated with the horse that Eric Eo sent out Friday, here on the cusp of his retirement, and if there wasn't a retirement in the offing, there was going to be a forced retirement after this. A horse that he named with animus and in a derogatory fashion toward Ken Rudolph of TVG. Mig is going to be with us at the start of hour two, and I'm sure Mig and I are going to let Mig opine as well, and we'll, I'm sure, kick it around. But hard not to make this the top story, as it were, out of the weekend. I mean, which is just so frustrating and just so exhausting that this that in this day and age, and particularly off of a summer that you would think would generate more understanding or more sensitivities, to have this situation arise, it is just, it's just inexcusable. It's just pathetic. There's certain tired acts that just limit everybody's ability to endure, essentially. I and that can be expanded into into several arenas. But this just it whether it was, you know, meant it to, you know, to test the boundaries and you know, it tongue in cheek. There, none of this. Some amusement, or that somebody would find it funny and harmless. It's just ridiculous. And you don't blame anybody for being put off. I see, you know, I see some people saying, "Oh, people are so sensitive nowadays." No, they're not. They're not sensitive nowadays. This was specifically a targeted racial insult and attempt to belittle and humiliate. I mean, who puts any effort into doing something like that? It's pathetic and ridiculous and something that I just strains logic. You know, and to everybody's credit, in terms of condemning the concept and the implementation, I feel you got to feel somewhat badly for Rick Bailey's staff at the Jockey Club, in the interactive, the name registry. Name comes across Grape Soda. It's innocuous in and of itself. But, then when, specifically Gio says it's named in honor of or with some individual TVG in mind, I mean, the connection was obvious instantaneously. And for those of you that don't understand the Grape Soda aspect, I can tell you from my Procter & Gamble experience involving Orange Crush and Heyer's Root Beer, that, the African-American community generally, has a higher preference toward fruit sodas and ginger ale than dark sodas, colas. And, I mean, the minute this thing cropped, I just saw it connected the dots instantly. And I did see somebody on my message board mentioned that, it may have been missed in part because so many people either, aren't following on Twitter, aren't following Gio, in my case, have him muted so you don't see what he tweets. But if it was to get attention and to be edgy and it's just so hapless and out of touch and unnecessary. And obviously the fallout goes, beyond. And this all, to go back to some conversations over the past year, this all can be filed under the same umbrella, the same index of being a good steward of the game that everybody has and shares the responsibility of treating the game and its participants with, respect, because when you do things like this, you bring, you know, tremendous negative response, negative energy, negative view. It's just irresponsible and hateful, and I, under the fact that it comes, you know, within hours and days of you know, just a incredible offense against, you know, this country and this country's multiracial makeup. It's particularly irksome. Yeah, and of course, has managed to gain the attention of mainstream sports coverage, and helps people from the outside looking in to, you know, reinforce certain preconceived notions about the sport and its makeup, just what the sport needs. I cannot tell you how disgusted and exasperating this is. Credit Larry Roman, who claimed, he and Rob Atras claimed the horse out of that start Friday. And Larry Roman, when made aware of what was going on, asked the Jockey Club, struck the name, and Larry Roman comes back and names the horse Respect for All, which is really a nice gesture, and is also going to kick 10% of the gelding's earnings to the backstretch employee assistance team. And good for him. So more on it from Rich. You know, Rich has been on the racetrack his entire life, so he can offer perspective. All right, so for now, some elements of the week's news. I mentioned the sale starting today, 10 o'clock kicks off. And I guess plenty cold over the weekend in Kentucky, because I saw everybody kind of bundled up. But that's not a new phenomena in the January sale or the next month at Phasic, the February sale. Mentioned the 1,000 words. Unfortunately, it is not going to go forward. And what an unusual, kind of a unusual career. I was fortunate to see him. I saw three of his first four starts, I think, and became a big fan. And he just really did not go forward. It's kind of an old, kind of a throwback to some degree. You could think back to some of those precocious types, that come out running at two, and then the rest of the 2-year-olds, as they become 3-year-olds, they go on by. So 1,000 words. 3-time stake winner, the Los Al Futurity, of course, and the Bob Lewis. I was there for both of those. And actually, as I look up, I was I was honored to present the trophy for that, Bob Lewis. So he's going to stand at the Spendthrift, and 10,000. He's a pioneer of the Nile, and you know, should, you know, I'm sure he'll get plenty of interest. I think they just made, you know, they realized that it's not going to be able to compete at the highest level, and it seems, as an older horse, and you know, with the stud, the stallion opportunities starting in about 4.5 weeks, the opportunity to get him into the shed. So, 1,000 words. Stepping away from responsibilities as a stallion, Lemon Drop Kid, and I'm 61, and Lemon Drop Kid, when I was becoming really a big fan of the game and learning to play, that was really a period right then when Lemon Drop Kid, his season 21 years ago, was one of the ones, you know, and I've told you before about Scotty Schoelhofer. I think, you know, before any of the names you would think somebody my age would have latched onto or just been, you know, in terms of the awareness at that time in the 90s, for whatever reason, Scotty Schoelhofer was the first trainer that I, you know, sort of like kind of latched onto and realized, boy, this guy, you know, this guy's a good horseman, and his horses are good. And of course, Mrs. Vance, and there was a lot to like about Lemon Drop Kid. That, you know, that season between the Belmont and then the Travers, and then, you know, back to Lane's End for a really productive career. You know, I noticed that when they put up the stats for LDK, as everybody in shorthand, '98 black type winners and 46 graded winners worldwide. And continues to succeed and grow his reputation thanks to his fillies and mares. So, Lemon Drop Kid, and we'll let Sid riff on his success as a stallion. Lemon Drop Kid. I reached out to Aaron Crady too. The sale on Friday wrapped up, and we'll get some specifics. And of course, they're going to come back. You still can bid today through this afternoon on the silent auction items as well. But I want to get some results from Aaron. That was just mixed in there with some of my notes. We got some Pegasus activities that we got to fold in with some defections. And as you heard the other day with Mike, the confirmation that Charlatan wasn't going to come. He's going to focus on an international opportunity, which I, again, this year will not discuss. Something else that's offensive. It's funny around the game what gets identified and heralded as offensive to some degree. I guess some are more subtle than others. The Pegasus lineup week from Saturday continues to morph a little bit, and you've got a couple of new invitees with considering the departures. Independence Hall gets invited, as does Coastal Defense, AEs, to fill out, ideally, if anybody else defects. And on the turf side, Ride a Comet, and we're going to talk about Ride a Comet shortly. Nice performance in the tropical turf. He and Casa Creed came down to them. Casa ran a huge race for Lee, for Lee Einsiedler, and here came Ride a Comet. Gaffney-Owen gave him a very good ride. He absolutely, you know, stayed right within striking distance, and I thought that was a heady trip on that front. So we'll talk to Mark Cassie here in this hour, as well as Phil D'Amato. And I've been, it's funny, even before we took a holiday break, we were looking forward to catching up with Phil, because, you know, through the end of Del Mar and through Los Al, leading up into the start of Santa Anita, he really was, you know, his horses were running, and he was getting maidens, and you know, the stake runners were going well. So I kept writing down Phil D'Amato. And then Charmaine's Mia wins the Las Cienegas on Saturday with Drayden. And that was a good ride as well, taking control. And so we'll get a hold of Phil. Mark Cassie, Phil D'Amato, Mig, of course, as mentioned, and Nick Tamaro, Brian Sanfratello later. Pennsylvania breeders have a online auction kicking off. And we'll let Brian riff on that. We've got I mentioned the fairgrounds. We'll probably do a fairgrounds. We'll get a hold of, you know what, maybe a little Brendan Walsh action. Brendan won, that was a very good turf sprint, the Nelly Menard on Saturday, into Mystic. It was a nice, boy, he's become, Brendan, when it comes to these turf sprinters, you know, Extravagant Kid, etc., very strong. But if you haven't had a chance to look ahead, it's an unbelievable card. In addition to the six stakes, the LeCompte and the Louisiana being the graded variety, and then Silver Bullet Day for the fillies, three-year-old fillies, and the Colonel Bradley, as well as the Kenner and the Krantz. Then there's like five maiden specials, turf and dirt, short and long, and I actually had the presence of mind to look ahead and to check the weather. And the weather's gorgeous all week. It doesn't look, after a very tough early winter in New Orleans, it's going to be a beautiful week. And so there's virtually no rain in the forecast all week long. So hopefully that stays as is, you know, and they can get a card like this in. I didn't expect. I went to go print the late pick four, which is all stakes, and then I looked and I said, "Oh, I got to take this allowance and the Krantz," and then there's four maiden special weights in a row that are really interesting. Everyone full fields. It is a Saturday, should be a really fun day at Fairgrounds. So we'll look forward to checking in with some sharp opinions. Marcus Hirsch. Be good week to get the champ, to get Michael Bacik in here, and talk to Bacik as well. So when you get the best part of New Orleans, the early draw. So I printed out races 2 through 13, which was 30, I think it was 33 pages or something. It's very nice. The 3-year-old boys that start the road to the Louisiana Derby. And they got a nice field of 11 in here, and we'll start to peek at it as the day and the week unfold. Right now, unfolding, first visit of 2021 for Mark Cassie, and comes on the heels of Ride a Comet winning the Tropical Turf on Saturday and doing it in nice fashion. And it sure feels like there's another nice turf miler sort for Mark Cassie to move around the chessboard. Mark, happy new year to you, the family, and the team. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Steve. Happy new year to you, and ready for 2021.
Yeah, well, it. I hope the years aren't blurring together completely, frankly, and talk a little bit about, let's dive into this race. And this was a nice group, and Ride a Comet's a 6-year-old, Mark, and it feels like he has really, after the year long break between his 4 and 5-year-old year, this is now his third straight start, and it feels like he's got real momentum at completely capitalizing on his pedigree and opportunity.
Well, I hate to correct you, Steve, but it's 2 years. He's he had over, I think, 26 months or something like that.
Jesus.
He was off.
I didn't. Oh, that's right. Look at that. You're right. I'm just looking down now. I got the PPs from September of 18 to October of 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one. You know what? He's one of our proudest moments because he has truly been a team effort. He was a horse. We bought him as a 2-year-old, and we liked him. And he didn't show a lot his first couple starts. And David Carroll and I were having this conversation yesterday or the day before. I remember after he started a time or two, I said, I bought this horse at the OBS sale. And I said, I love the way he got over the synthetic. I said, we got to try him on the grass. And we did. And I think down in New Orleans, and he won. And then I think he won again. And we tried him on Turfway on the, I think in the, I forget what they called it that year. It changes all the time. And he didn't run as good at all, which was surprising. But the synthetic of today at Turfway, which I think is just tremendous, I'm not so sure it was that great back then. He just didn't get over it. And we took him to Toronto, and he ran some good races. And then he went out and he won the, I think it was the Hollywood Derby, was it? And beat Raging Bull. Delmar Derby. And, we took him to New York, and he bowed. And so we sent him home to our training center in Ocala, gave him almost a year off, brought him back, and he bowed again. He did it actually in a different, same leg, but a different spot. And we gave him another year off, and or almost a year, and a lot of rehab, a lot of work on our entire team's parts, from Mitch down, Cindy Black, and we have a wonderful rehab center in Ocala, and brought him back and ran him on the Tapeta. And I don't know if you remember, I think we talked about, I think I was on with you, and I said something, and you said, well, you had some big winners. And I said, nothing was more impressive than.
That's right. That's right.
Ride a Comet's comeback win. I thought it was the most impressive thing. He's extremely. Like I said, he would be one of our proudest moments of our team just because of what he's overcome. And I talked to Tyler Saturday morning, and I told him, I said, Tyler, and Tyler knows me pretty well. I'm not one to get excited or make predictions. I said, I don't think they'll beat you, Tyler. And Tyler wrote him that way. He wrote him with a lot of confidence.
And I mentioned that, he wasn't afraid to, kind of be perched a little bit outside and to stalk from that position. And it's amazing, actually. I mean, this is his third graded stake win. He's got two grade twos. You mentioned the Del Mar Derby, the Kennedy Road, and now the Tropical Turf. So he's won on grass going a mile and an eighth and a mile, 6 furlongs on the synthetic at Woodbine. From a pedigree standpoint, this is an important horse. Len Regio bred him out of Appealing Zofi, and there's
Taffret too. You realize that, right?
Who else?
No, just Taffret, the horse that won the Belmont. Yeah, he's a half to him.
Oh yeah. Well, Appealing Zofi. Yeah, No.
I think the mare may have had another stakes winner as well.
No,
I got to tell you, funny. They weren't past the wire for 5 seconds, and I look at my phone and I'm getting a phone call from Barbados. he's calling me.
Jeez, how funny.
He said, I told you that horse is a super horse. he loves him. So he called me from Barbados, right? The race just
That's funny.
Past the wire. Yeah.
He's actually got 4 wins out of the 7 going in. So 4 out of the 8, half of his wins have come with Patrick. Drayden Van Dyke had him at Del Mar.
Rode him very well at Del Mar. And Patrick told me after he came back, when he had his first start back, he said, there's not a horse in Canada that can touch him. And that's one of the reasons we went ahead and sprinted him back, and he beat Pink Lloyd his last start there.
That's right. That's right.
That's not an easy task.
Well, this, obviously, you get this is what the second, let me see, third time he's won at a mile. Specifically, and of course that includes the one turn at Woodbine and the Charlie Barley. What are your thoughts? And obviously, the more you augment this resume, the more attractive he's going to be to stand somewhere. He's Candy Ride.
Well, and that's and that's my hopes and dreams for him, because he deserves to be a stallion somewhere.
Sure.
Unfortunately, they're going to condemn him a little bit for his age, but it's not, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. So, can you imagine the damage he could have done had he not got hurt? I mean, because he is a serious racehorse. So right now, my goal is to try to make him a grade one winner. He's a grade two winner. I'd like to try to make him a grade one winner. So I think, one, he has to stay healthy. He came out of the race very good. Probably going to look at maybe the Shoemaker Mile. It looks like the first grade one that he can take a shot at. I'm hoping, I think if he stays sound, he could be a Breeders' Cup horse, so we'll chart that path. But right now, I'm thinking the Shoemaker Mile.
Nice.
He was invited to the Pegasus as well, but I just think it's too quick, too soon. It's not that he can't run that far. He's the Pegasus Turf. I think it's 1 3/16. Is it 1 3/16 or 1 1/8, Steve?
The dirt race is 1 1/8.
No,
the turf. No, I know. Let me see. I've got that. I had that right here. I just literally, after I read through the thing, I I changed the screen. Where'd it go? Unbelievable. All right. I will find out.
Anyway, I think it's a mile and 360.
Here we go.
But I just, if he had a little more time, it would be tempting. I just don't know that that would be the right thing to do. So.
Yeah, mile and 3/16 is correct.
Yeah.
Now, plenty of opportunity, and you certainly, you know, when you think about what's gone on with, you know, with Got Stormy and, you know, the way she moved around.
By the way, she's doing very well. I think I'm going to tell you this. You'll be the first to hear this. I think she's probably going to come back in the Honey Fox at Gulfstream. I want to say on February 27th, that's going to be our goal. It's a mile on the turf.
Yeah.
For Phillies, that's where, yeah. I had a conversation with Ned Toffee Saturday and told him, you know, I think that's a nice spot for her to come back in.
And, 27th. And that, which to me is interesting. You're kind of going to gear her back toward a two-turn season? Is that part of the plan?
You know what? If you look, the problem is, Steve, if you look, there isn't really, I've said that I'd like to sprint her, but there really isn't anything for her. So we know, that she can go a mile, especially on a real hard turf. Two things that, for sure. If the turf has any give to it, she will not run farther than 7/8 of a mile. I'm just not going to do it to her. So if the Honey Fox were to come up and get the turf was soft, or something like that at Gulfstream, which seldom happens, I wouldn't run her. We've had that conversation, and they agree with me, Ned and the Spendthrift team. There's no good spot for her other than that. And she's training really well, and she likes to run. So I think we go there, and then we kind of chart it out from there. It's still, 2021 is still a little, you still don't know what's exactly going to be where, with the COVID and everything. So. I don't want to, my other option would be to send her to California, and I don't want to do that right now. I think her worst race last year was her first race back, and I think the reason was that I didn't get her ready on the turf. I tried to get her ready on the dirt. And so she's going to go to Palm Meadows probably in a week or two and start training, breezing on the dirt, on the turf. And I mean, she's already there. So that I think the Honey Fox would make the most sense.
Nice. Let me, before we talk about New Orleans and the weekend, because you're well invested, including in the Silver Bullet Day and with all those interesting maiden races, and I want to ask about the maidens, let's talk about a couple of fairly recent performances and winners, including the Ontario bred for Breeze Easy. Samson, of course, Mark, with the dispersal, the sale starts in the next 4 days. And I actually reached out to Mark Frostad about potentially, joining us. It's really kind of a sad between Paul Pompa and Samson. It's really a sad element to the next 4 days. But Curlin's Catch, a Samson bred, and this one obviously has got potential to arc toward the plate. How about that win, a week ago? A week ago? 10 days ago at Gulfstream?
Yeah, I was happy. I thought she ran really well. I thought her first start at Woodbine, she was good. She ran well. She disappointed me in her second start. We kind of always felt like she was bred for the dirt. And talking to Mike Hall and Sam Ross, they wanted to give her a try on the dirt if she trained well enough. And she trained good. We expected her to run well, and she did. And I think she'll move forward from that. It's not an easy path to go from Tapeta synthetic to dirt. But we had, gave her, you know, she had plenty of time. She had a couple really good breezes, and we'll see. She still has a lot to prove, but the last, that was a good step forward.
And she was in control. I mean, this was a nice performance, and watch from here. That was what, third career start.
First on dirt.
First dirt, right. She was second in the debut in October, and then you tried her, actually. You spun her back pretty quick in the Princess Elizabeth, and I don't remember if we talked about that.
Things kind of got messed up, Steve, where some races didn't go that I wanted to go, and so I didn't get her started quite as early as I wanted, and then I ran her, and, you know, it was hard to pass up giving a shot at the Princess Elizabeth, but... And she was a little flat in that race, but she's a filly. I think she's getting better. We'll come back and try her, you know, a route of ground again and an allowance race, I think, and then we'll go from there. Hopefully she proves to be, you know, a top filly.
Nice. Well, plenty of interest coming up on Saturday, and one of the fun things that with New Orleans, with fairgrounds, they get out ahead of it, and so it gives us the opportunity to talk about. I don't do a whole lot of pre-race kinds of things with trainers. We usually reserve it for the handicapping side, but given, you know, your involvement here, let's touch on where you stand. Super Sensational comes back, and she'll be the focus, certainly, in the Silver Bullet Day.
Tough race. I mean, you know, as we all know, Brad's tough to beat, and I think he's got a couple in there. Our filly, unfortunately, I had wanted to get a two-turn race with her on the Tapeta, but she was in... And they canceled the day. She was the big favorite in the...
Right.
I can't remember. I think it was the Mazarine. No, not the Mazarine. Salima. Anyways, whatever it was, she was the favorite, and they canceled because of weather. And then, of course, they canceled the entire remaining of the year. So that set us back a little bit with her. My hopes had been to get a two-turn race into her on the Tapeta, and then attack the dirt. Unfortunately, that didn't work. So now we have to, you know, we're going to give her, she has two new questions, and that is, can she run two turns, and can she handle the dirt? We feel very confident that she can handle the dirt. She's trained as good as a filly can train on the dirt since arriving in New Orleans. But you still, you know, the question, and you never know until you try, can they get two turns? I'm sure she'll get two turns. Whether she'll be as effective as she has been on one, that remains to be seen. Her pedigree says, obviously, Curlin can do anything. She is out of an Indian Charlie mare, which sometimes can limit, you know, how far they'll go. But, we're pretty confident with her. She's training exceptionally well. Declan's going to ride her. Declan's been on her, I think, raised her four or five times, and he just loves her.
She's worked six times already at Fairgrounds since December.
Well, I told you, we were, you know, what you have to do, especially coming off of the synthetic, I don't know. If it's, you know, over the synthetic, they get over the synthetic so easy that I just don't know that they get the same type of fitness or muscle tone out of synthetic. That's the good news about synthetic, is it is much easier on horses. The bad news is it makes it a little more difficult when you go to run on the dirt. So you do have to train hard, and, you know, it's just been, this is the first race that she'd even be eligible to run in. So, she's had a fair amount of training, but I think that, you know what, I think that's a good thing.
Well, obviously was literally a sensation right from the get-go, and, you know, having beaten Spitestown Sherrill in their respective debuts, a lot of attention and expectation, and certainly excited for Mrs. Weber to get the three-year-old season started. This is not a homebred, we should mention, too.
No,
this was a big purchase.
One that Mrs. Weber and I, we went to the Saratoga sale, and what normally we do is I would go around, or if Bruce wasn't there this time, Bruce Hill, but I'd go around and pick out about five or six horses, and then she goes around, Mrs. Weber does, because, you know, she has a wonderful eye for a horse as well, and so I kind of let her, I give her a short list, and she picks out the one she wants, and that was the one.
Let's touch on some of the others going into the weekend and the action. I can't get people excited enough about what's going to happen here Saturday. It is a fabulous card at Fairgrounds. You're in the Bradley with Peace Achieved.
Yeah. Peace Achieved is, you know, a horse that I had really high hopes going into the Breeders' Cup, and he just never showed up that day. Shortly after, he ended up coming up with a minor injury that, you know, I don't think it had any effect on this race. But so he's kind of been, we haven't been able to get him quite into, you know, a rhythm or a bunch of races where we can kind of get him back to peak form. He's training well. Whether he's at 100% yet, probably not. So that's not an easy race. I'm just looking for a good performance out of him.
Peace Achieved with Declan as well. So nice weekend, nice Saturday for Deck with stakes opportunities.
I'm speaking of Declan, I just wanted to say, obviously he's David's son, and that's important to all of us. Declan's part of the family. That being said, as much as I love Declan and his family, if I didn't think Declan was a really good rider, he wouldn't be riding for us. He's been so unlucky. Every time he gets rolling, you know, he broke his back, he cracked some vertebrae as apprentice, and, you know, it's just been one thing after another. Given the horse, though, Declan can ride with anybody, and I have complete confidence in him. I can tell you this, if my wife had a horse in a million-dollar race and he was the favorite, I wouldn't hesitate for a second to let Declan ride him. So, yeah, we're giving Declan some opportunities, and I think it's well-deserved, and I can remember going back, 10, 12 years ago to California, and I was riding a guy, and kind of my owners were like, who is this guy? Why are we riding him? I said, because he's a great rider. And his name was Joel Rosario. And I started riding another guy, and I said, this guy's a great rider. He's a great rider. Okay. As Mr. Mangarian used to say to me, so you say. So you say. That was his favorite saying. And his name was Tyler Gaffleone. So I do believe that that I do know something about watching guys ride. So I'm hoping for Declan that, you know, he gets the opportunity, and we're going to give him some nice horses to ride on Saturday.
Big time, and we'll talk about a couple of the maidens in a minute. Should ask about Jeannie B, who's a horse that we discussed last fall, and making a four-year-old debut. This is a Bated Breath filly that came to the U.S. last year and has, you know, really run three good races. Got a money allowance win at Woodbine, going 7.5 on the grass. The Krantz is a mile and a 16th, and Florent Giroux gets the call. And it feels, Mark, like you've got some real expectations that, you know, she's going to be a good older filly and mare going forward.
Well, I do, Steve. We think she's pretty talented. Unfortunately, she was in a two other than last week, and it got rained off the turf. So this is plan B. It's not really plan A. So, I mean, if if I could choose, this is probably not the perfect spot to come back in. But that being said, she's extremely talented, and we're going to give it a try.
Why not?
But yeah, it's not ideal. Sometimes, a lot of time, and I think a lot of handicappers don't understand when they see. They may say, well, why are you doing this, or why are you running here, or why are you doing that? Is, you know, we have to play the cards that are dealt to us.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, you don't always get the best cards. And so you have to play the hand the best way you can do it. And this is kind of where we're at with her. I think she'll run very well. We'd like to get some black type on her. And that would be nice, but I could see this filly, if she stays healthy, being a really good horse at Woodbine this summer.
Well, in addition to Jeannie B, one more stake horse, and we could actually use real money to the votes are already cast, Mark, but I'm not sure when. I should really reach out to Jim Glucks and see when they're going to talk about and release the top three vote getters, the finalists for the Eclipse, but real money, Gary Barber. This is a 5-year-old gelding who, you know, has been a nice allowance horse. This is going to be a stakes debut. But I've been, you know, Mark, I've been fairly unabashed about how deserving Gary is. He's been deserving for the last several years, and it really felt like last year should be the year that puts him over the top. I've seen a handful of ballots revealed. I don't know. I sense that people don't put in the effort to, you know, to really understand the category like they should.
Well, I would agree with that 100%. One thing about it, if we could go ahead and vote for 2021, Gary's already won 7 races this year. I just looked, and he's on top. He's on top of the leaderboard. Of course, it's a long ways to go till the end of the year. But I was extremely disappointed that he didn't win it last year. I thought, if you looked at all he owned the Preakness winner, he owned the 4-Star Dave winner, but more importantly, it was a vast amount. I the numbers were crazy. I don't even remember how many great stakes winners. And I understood, you know, Klarovich was kind of in the same way. He probably deserved it prior. And there's definitely, you know, sometimes, as you just said, there's not enough enough information gathered before making a vote, which is disappointing because, you know, you're not going to find anybody more committed to the sport than Gary Barber, and loves it, plays on in every category. And can you imagine our horse racing right now, horse racing without Gary Barber right now? I mean, the man is amazing to me, and he deserves to win the Eclipse Award. I've seen some of the people's votes, and I'm like, I just shake my head. Sometimes I think, anyways, I'm not going to say anymore.
Yeah. Well, real money looks to break through in the first stake opportunity that comes in the Kenner early on the card. And then between the Kenner and the Krantz, there's 4 straight maiden races, and you're involved in 3 of them, Mark. And I want to just get a quick snapshot before we go. Give us a little bit of a look ahead. And the 5th going a mile, these are fillies, the 3-year-olds, and you've got Love in the Air for Mr. Oxley, and then Bob Edwards E5 Transient makes a debut.
Yeah, we've been trying to run Poor Transient forever. She's a filly. We had some troubles with her name, and it ended up she was really ready to run at Keeneland. I mean, at Churchill, and just one thing after another. She's been a struggle, but we think she has some talent. As in many of our horses, it may take a race or two. That's just kind of never been our focus, to win first time out. So we're just looking for a good positive race for her. The other filly I thought ran pretty well. We have no idea. We had her in on the turf and it came off, and we ran her on the dirt and she ran well. But, you know, as Broadway Lady showed yesterday, you know, the Constitutions do like the grass. So I would expect she would like the grass.
This is her, fourth start, and she's run, you know, she's cashed nice checks. She's been second, third, and fourth in three starts. So, feels like she'll come through. In addition to the Constitution side, Mark, she's also out of a Freud mare, so
right,
there's plenty,
exactly.
Plenty of grass.
Yeah, that was the reason, you know, we wanted to get her on the grass.
Talk about the sixth. This is a mile and a 16th for the boys. This is very frequently an important race that'll feed the Risen Star and a pair in here. Start with the DJ Candy Ride colt, Dolder Grand. And we talked about Dolder. This is another horse that keeps knocking on the door, and that included in the Grade One Summer behind Gretzky the Great. And coming back here as for the fourth career start, but you've had expectation for him right from the get-go. He was an $800,000 OBS April purchase.
Yeah, well, we know Dolder Grand likes the grass. He's already shown that. We know he likes the synthetic. We bought him off of OBS and synthetic. But as in always at this time of year, you're trying to decide and prove whether you like the dirt. I thought his first race on the dirt at Churchill was very good. He showed a lot of grit. He never gave up. We've, you know, since had some time to train him, you know, more on the, he didn't have a lot of training on the dirt before that first race. Now he's gotten some more works over it. So, you know, it's an interesting race. It's not an easy race, but he's a pretty good horse. We're going to find out maybe on Saturday, is his future on the dirt or will he need to go back to the grass? So that's a question we'll be looking to answer on Saturday.
You know, he's a Delridge out of the Tappet mare Tamboz, who has been super productive. I mean, virtually everybody has got some degree of black type. She's had four of her babies that have earned over six figures, and Dolder, part of a series. I mean, she's been bred to nothing but nice stallions and has produced, you know, time and time again. And in fact, the one that hasn't won was actually, you have that horse, Windora.
Yeah, and that horse is, and I still think he's going to end up being a pretty good horse. We bought him as a yearling for Mr. Oxley, and it
didn't happen.
And then Mr. Oxley sold him in the training sale, and I asked Gary to buy him. Mr. Oxley was kind of done with him, and I asked Gary to buy him, and he bought him, and the horse had to have throat surgery, and that's what's hurt him and why you have never seen that his full potential, Windora. He did run pretty good his last start. That was his first start since having throat surgery, and I think he'll continue to improve off of that. So it's not really his fault or the mare's fault that he hasn't done better. It's just an unfortunate thing. He's had some issues with his air.
Well, his name is Wind.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, that was terrible. The Scarlet Fusion is in that race with Dolder Grand as well. And here's another fancy pedigree, the Curlin, another $800,000 purchase. And talk about where he stands coming out of that near miss at Churchill in November.
Well, he's been a bit of a frustrating horse in that. You know, as I've said a million times, we're not expecting him to win first time out. It's not something we try to do, but we would have liked him to run better. And the first two times, I think, I'm not sure, did Tyler ride him both times?
Tyler's ridden them all three, yes.
Yeah, he rode him the first two times as well. And, you know, he would come back and say, look, guys, he's got talent. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And finally, his last start at Churchill, he got it. He got it, and he ran very well. So we were happy because he's a beautiful horse. He's got a huge pedigree. Has the right to be any kind of horse. I will say, I think since his last start, he's really gotten it. So I would expect him to run. You know, I think both of those horses are gonna give each other a run for their money. Hopefully, nobody else is involved. I'd be happy to see the two battle it out down the lane. But I think both horses have a chance.
I mean, I got to bring it up. You know, the most successful, you know, Scarlet Tango, this happens to be her last foal, and between Visionaire and Terra's Tango and Madison's Luna, I mean, those are all 7/8 stake winners, right? Mm-hmm. That's the commonality. Although Scarlet Strike won stakes at two turns.
Mm-hmm.
This is some family. I mean, this is
Scarlet Tango is by, who's she by, the mother?
French Deputy.
Okay. So the filly you're talking about, the Smart Strike filly out of the mare, Scarlet Tango.
Yes.
What's her name? Scarlet?
Scarlet Strike.
Yeah, so I think I bought Scarlet Strike. I bought her as a yearling for my wife. I think for like, she was an RNA, and I think I bought her for $60,000, something like that. And then I sold her in the two-year-old sales, and I believe Jerry Hollendoffer bought her. And if it's the same mare that I'm thinking about, she went on and he did well with her. Yeah, she. So, so I've had that family for on and off for a while. But, you know, when the dust clears, maybe he won't be able to go that far. Maybe he will be a better sprinter because of his mom. But he gets himself in trouble when he lacks a little speed early on. And by running farther, he can be, you know, more forwardly placed. So I expect him to run well.
Well, a big weekend in the offing. Adam Bachiza is riding Dolder Grand. I almost said Davy Carroll's riding Scarlet Fusion. It's too late for Davy. And then in the seventh race, Committed, the Tracy Farmer. Get Tracy in the act. You got everybody running. All the owners are represented Saturday.
Yeah, you know, there's a beautiful, well-bred horse. He just hasn't gotten it all together yet. And I mean, we keep running him. He runs well, but you keep waiting for the breakout performance, and hopefully it comes Saturday.
Well, plenty of opportunity, and you know, that's just fairgrounds. You've got you're operating at Turfway as well, and you know, pretty much everywhere. Gulfstream. You got a New York bred. I'm going to slip this in. Fairgrounds on Thursday. Tell us about the first time starter for Jack Oxley, City Mischief.
Yeah, you know what, we like him. We think he's a nice horse. Probably going to need a start or two. He's actually on the AEs. I hope he draws in. As I often do, I'd like to get, you know, start horses first time out on the grass. So we've got him in on the grass, but he probably can do a little bit of anything.
Interesting. City Mischief. He's an Into Mischief out of Tis Now Mare, Storm Now. And this was a Broman bred. And $350,000 Saratoga, New York sale yearling. Well, Mark, obviously there's tons we could keep going, but I kept you enough and hope everybody was taking notes on Saturday's action and everything else going on. Well done getting Ride a Comet, starting the year out right, and an amazing story. First visit of the year and more to come.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Steve, and be well.
You too. Mark Cassie, everybody. And follow Mark on Twitter, Mark E. Cassie. And, you know, whenever.